This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
He's been called an apostle of changed lives and second chances. He's been called a prophet with honor. He's been called many things. But today on Viewpoint, we want to take a look postmortem, a postmortem perspective on the life of Billy Graham and looking back, looking forward. We want to look forward to the future based upon the past. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Well, that's true. And here, a man of great reputation has passed. Passed from the present, but we have to look at the future. Looking back, looking forward, post-mortem perspectives here on the life of Billy Graham. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends, because today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about some very, very important things, perhaps some things that you did not know about the life of Billy Graham. There was nobody like him, said the President of the United States. He will be missed by Christians and many, a very special man. Indeed, he was. But today we're going to take a look at the life of Billy Graham, not only in the sense that so many have done so in the past, but looking forward. What are the implications for this life? I remember as growing up, of a saying that I have never forgotten. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So here's the question today. This is not just about the life of Billy Graham. This is about your life and about my life. What significance? What is the significance that your life will have in the future? Are you leaving a legacy that will last? Dads, fathers, moms? Are we leaving a legacy that will last? Here is a lasting legacy, yes, with the life of Billy Graham. But you know what? Unless the baton is passed in a significant way, that legacy will soon be lost. And so today on Viewpoint, we want to take this postmortem perspective, looking back, looking forward, with the idea of Jesus' words, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Our special guest today on Viewpoint, Michael Austin, who has joined us many times before on this program, he represents Christian History Magazine. Christian History Magazine. And the beautiful thing about this is that Christian History Magazine has produced a very special magazine on the life of Billy Graham called Apostle of Changed Lives and Second Chances. Michael, it's so good to have you back on the program.
Well, it's an honor to be invited and to speak about this wonderful magazine, which I think is a very significant part of our culture today.
Well, indeed it is, and let me just mention this right up front. I have probably a minimum of 50, probably 100 copies of Christian History Magazine in my library. I find them to be an incredible resource, and periodically I go back to them to be inspired, to be encouraged, to be informed even of the lives of so many in our Christian history going back that have made such a profound difference and actually made it possible for us to live as we do today. So I want you to know that Christian History Magazine stands tall in my mind and in my life and ministry. Why are you associated with Christian History Magazine?
Well, I love history. I've been a history buff for many, many years. And it was of great interest to me because as a relative new Christian, I wanted to know I had a sense of of needing to catch up because at the elder age of 59 years old, the Lord got a hold of me, and I wanted to find out about Him as much as I could, and so I started studying history, and I came across this magazine. Actually, an individual referenced the magazine. I sought it out and began to read it, and just enjoy reading it. It's such a rich resource that I went to them and asked them if I could help to promote it, and they were very happily in agreement. And so, gosh, that was I think I'm running on starting a fifth year speaking about the magazine. What a privilege it is.
Well, and it has been a delight to have you join us here on the program to talk about a variety of different issues that have had connection with our lives, with our country, with the church in America. So let's talk a little bit, cast some interest factors concerning the life of Billy Graham. There have been so many things that have been said. We've heard excerpts of some of his preaching, even on national television. We've heard his call to salvation, come to Jesus, even in the most unlikely places. So what stands out to you as we look back? What do you think people would really, really be fascinated with about his life?
Well, he was a man with a message, and that message was very simple, very direct, and he stuck to it throughout his life. And that was the message, the good news, that God loves us. His Son came and gave himself for us, and that he is accessible, and that we can have a personal relationship with him. And he gave millions of people an invitation to start that relationship. And he pioneered the media to in order to carry that message. It's pretty well agreed that he reached more people individually than any man in history. I've read that that number would be over 200 and some million individuals that he spoke to. The largest crusade, the largest audience he had was in South Korea. 1.3 million people he spoke to on an afternoon.
It's amazing.
And that was his mission. He had a simple message, and he delivered it.
Well, you know, God sets forth messengers to deliver messages, and we can't control what people do with the message. He calls forth prophets. He calls forth apostles. He calls forth pastors and teachers to deliver messages. The interesting thing, though, is we human beings have no ability to control how the people respond to the message, do we?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, Billy Graham has come under a lot of criticism for various things he did. You know, people have various trees to bark up and so forth. But I think that he did not allow these rabbit trails to deter him to speak to anyone on the planet.
All right, we'll pick up on that after the break. Stay tuned, friends. Postmartum.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Postmortem Perspectives. That's our program here today on Viewpoint, looking back, looking forward, as a result of the passing of the life of Billy Graham. Passing the baton. But to whom? One could easily say, well, the passing of the baton was to his son, Franklin Graham, or to his daughter, Ann Lotz Graham. But in reality, they can only carry a small portion of the baton. The reality is that unless you and I carry the baton, it really doesn't bear all that much fruit. You see, it's about multiplying. When the kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't bring forth just one kernel, it brings forth many. Therefore, the life of Billy Graham, if it's to have a full and complete legacy, must not only bring forth the immediate fruit that one could see or measure or hear testimony about, but that must multiply 30, 60, 100-fold return. And that's what we want to look at here today, even as we track through some of the profound interest factors that are involved with the life of Billy Graham, including the fact that he spoke to 1.3 million people there in Seoul, Korea. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine Austin standing before 1.3 million people to address them on the gospel?
Well, I've seen that photograph at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing to see as far as the eye could see straight ahead or to the right and to the left, individual souls. But of course, all of these millions of people that he reached did multiply that message. And we would have to count in the billions who have heard a message from Billy Graham.
All right. And indeed, the message got heard even the more so, catapulted out there as a result of his passing through avenues, agencies that are hyper-liberal, anti-Christian, and yet catapulted the message out unwittingly, perhaps, to this generation. The question, though, again, is a message delivered is not a message received. That's the problem. A message delivered is not a message received. So, in this generation, we're told, in fact, Time magazine in its latest issue is telling us that the country, the society, the culture of America and the world is so radically different than it was during the ministry life of Billy Graham that one wonders whether that message would even really resonate today. Wow, that's quite a question. Now, with that lingering in our minds, let's go back to the idea, Michael, that you sowed in our minds during the first segment, talking about Billy Graham as a pioneer. That word is a good American word, pioneering. We like that idea. So in what ways was Billy Graham a pioneer?
Well, he was an extraordinary communicator, and he had no resistance against picking up the newest, the latest version of communication tools. He was a pioneer in radio. Mm-hmm. He established a radio station and a network. It's still very much alive today. He was a pioneer in television. He was criticized for this.
Mm-hmm.
There were fundamentalists that said, you're going to go to hell if you go on the radio, and likewise if you go on television. But he used these methods mm-hmm. to spread the gospel. And he remained true to the message, and he was a very humble man. I mean, he could have made himself into a TV star, a Hollywood star, a radio star. He resisted all of that, put Christ first, became and espoused a very humble attitude. The man, by all accounts, and there are so many personal testimonies to this, that Billy Graham was very humble. And expressed that any success that he was having was due to his Savior, Jesus Christ. And, of course, that was a witness and that was a message unto itself.
Well, he continued to live in a very humble abode even unto his death. That itself is quite amazing.
Well, he did. And the family was very protective of him in his later years. He became very, very frail. Thankfully, they did not relegate him to a hospice or hospital setting. Mm-hmm. He remained at home, being taken care of by his personal family. Boy, is that a witness and a message to the family in America today?
Exactly. And when you speak of technology, not only did he get involved in radio and TV, but he also promoted, in fact, created a number of serious movies on behalf of the Billy Graham Association.
Oh, yes, he did. He used every medium at his disposal. And, of course, he got a great boost and a great start in Los Angeles in 1949. And the lead article in the magazine is titled Watershed Los Angeles 49. It tells the story of how a basic, common Christian revival-type setting in a tent was picked up by the urging of Randolph Hearst,
right,
who encouraged his magazines to cover this young evangelist and his message. And boy, did that catapult Billy Graham into the public square.
It was amazing.
A great blessing.
The message was Puff Graham. Puff Graham. And boy, did they ever do that.
Well, in those days, the people in the press knew what that meant. And I think that the reason for that, one of the reasons, without a doubt, is that Hearst was a fervent anti-communist.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the threat of communism. He saw in Billy Graham's message that communism was a threat, and that was threatening people's personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the that fear, if you will, I think, sobered the public. There were and there's a great threat today, which his son recognizes in the growth of Islam around the world. And so these kinds of messages, these kinds of social issues, I think bring, well, you know, in my own personal life, when the Lord got a hold of me, I was under the threat of my own mortality. My older sister, who was 3 years older, suddenly died unexpectedly. I became convicted about my own death, and I think the Lord used that to get a hold of me.
Well, it's amazing what God will use.
Experience.
It's amazing what God will use, and he will use cultural milieus in order to get his message out in a particular generation or a particular time in history. And he did that with Billy Graham. It was the fear of communism, the Cold War, those kinds of things, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And communism, anti-communism was not his message, was it?
No, it wasn't. He did talk about it. He made an attempt, or a very successful message was to comfort people in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that message? That was the message of love. And he stressed that God is love and God is a refuge, and that you need not feel that you are helpless in this life, that you can step up. You can fight evil in this world. And, you know, our faith is one of historical significance. We should never forget that the Christian faith is the only one that is has a historical background.
Mm-hmm.
And we can study and see how Christians over history, a single individual, can actually, by their exercise of faith, and by their trust in the Lord, can make a huge change in the world.
Well, and that's exactly what happened with Billy Graham. We can't all be a Billy Graham. In fact, we're being told by some leaders there will never be another Billy Graham. Well, that's all right, because God raises up individuals for a particular season. For instance, he raised up John the Baptist for 6 months of ministry and to introduce Christ to Israel, and then John the Baptist lost his head. Some would say,
yes.
What a wasted life, what a wasted ministry. Yet Jesus said there had not risen a greater prophet in all of Israel than John the Baptist. So I think sometimes we don't have a God view of our lives. We tend to have more of a cultural appreciation of lives than a God view. And I think one of the things perhaps that we need to be looking at now is a God view, as we look at a postmortem perspective from the life of Billy Graham, looking back, looking forward, that our own lives can be used by the Lord in ways perhaps beyond anything we would have ever asked or thought.
Chuck, we have the opportunity to respond to his call. Actually, I am speaking to you from Florida right now on the campus of a small ministry that was founded by a Dr. Minter, who was the individual who first heard Billy Graham say, "Oh, I haven't preached yet. I can't preach tonight." Well, that was a response to an urging of Dr. Minter's. He said to a young teenage Billy Graham, "You're going to preach tonight, Billy." And Billy said, "Oh, no, I haven't preached yet." Well, he responded, and he did preach that night. He preached every sermon he had been practicing. And that, can you imagine how different history would be had that one individual not responded to the call that he heard through another man, which was the call from the Lord to step forward and preach the gospel?
Friends, I can hear just almost a screaming from the Holy Spirit to you right now that God has spoken to you. He has been urging you. He has given you opportunities to step out to do his will in ways perhaps you thought you were unprepared for, ways perhaps you thought that you could not do. And he's just waiting for you to say yes. Take the first step. It reminds me of the song that was sung continually through the Billy Graham Crusades, "Just As I Am." Just as I am, without one plea. We need to come to God just as I am. That's what Moses did. God called Moses at a very profound moment in the history of Israel, in the history of God's ultimate plan for his people. And Moses' response was, "I can't speak. Call my brother. He can speak, but don't ask me to speak, Lord." And God actually got angry with Moses and said, "Who made man's mouth? Now get up and do what I ask you to do."
Boy, that's a great message. And I heard it preached yesterday at this Lake Swan camp, which was Dr. Minter's camp in Melrose, Florida. Mm. I heard a young preacher speak that same sermon, reminding us of how Moses' knees were shaking, his voice was quaking, but through the unction of the Holy Spirit and his faith in his Heavenly Father, he stepped forward. And we can only imagine what history would have been like had he failed to respond.
Absolutely. So when we look at a postmortem perspective, looking back, looking forward, the reality is, Billy Graham is gone. His memory is here, yes. But unless we pick up the baton that God is handing to us, not to be the next Billy Graham, but to be the one that God calls us to be in this unique moment of human history. And we've just gone through the period of Purim and celebrating, remembering how God saved Israel through the life of a young woman whose uncle said to her, "Look, who knows but what you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows but what you, my friend, are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? For such a time as this, you were placed upon the earth to do the Master's will, whatever it is." That's your calling. That's my calling. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. Michael, as we're chatting here, I feel that the Holy Spirit is brooding over our conversation here, and there's a message that he wants to communicate to all of us, that this is our time. This is our moment. This is not Billy Graham's moment anymore. This is our moment. It's time to step up to the plate and be counted. We'll be right back after this, friends, to talk about how you can get a copy of the wonderful magazine Christian History and the Billy Graham story. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Music was a very integral part of the ministry of Billy Graham and his crusades. We want to talk a little bit about that in this segment. Very few have been talking about that. But I think it's quite important because God uses music, to accomplish his purposes in unique ways. But before we do that, our special guest, Michael Austin, with Christian History Institute and Christian History Magazine. Michael, this very special edition of the Christian History Magazine, issue 111, titled Billy Graham, Apostle of Changed Lives and Second Chances, that's available to us, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. And folks can go right on the website, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org, and subscribe to the magazine at no cost. There's plenty of opportunities to make a donation, but the donors of the ministry are so emphatic that they want to increase the distribution of the magazine, that mm-hmm. they want people to know that they can ignore those opportunities to donate, go right through the process, subscribe. They'll receive a year subscription at no cost, and they'll receive this wonderful magazine in the mail.
That is an incredible offer in this time when everybody is looking for a buck. And I just can't overemphasize the quality of what Christian History Institute does in producing these magazines. They are so well worth reading them, and the minor costs normally that they have, and there's something you want to hold on to as a resource, as a reference to go back to re-encourage yourself, to re-inform yourself, because it's easy for us to forget. And, you know, if we don't know who we are, we don't know what we're doing or where we're going. And that's happened to us as a country. We've just forgotten. We have forgotten. And here we are in a whole different dispensation of culture. The things that Billy Graham warned about back in the 1960s, for instance, I have right beside me. You might be fascinated by this, Michael. I have beside me a magazine that I picked up in an antique store. It was already considered an antique. And it's the Saturday Evening Post, February 17th, 1962. And the cover story is Billy Graham Speaks Out on Religion. Billy Graham Speaks Out on Religion. And the interesting thing about it is that in that particular cover story, he warned the United States. He warned we the people of the moral and spiritual slide that we were on, and that we could not continue with that particular pattern. Interestingly, Look magazine, and I came across this also at about the same time. I have it in front of me, December 1960, shortly before Billy Graham gave that message. Look magazine had a feature article from a Catholic bishop, Bishop Pike, Christianity in Retreat in America. Christianity in Retreat in America. That was before, 2 years before, the Supreme Court took prayer out of the public schools, 3 years before it took Bible out of the public schools. And so what we're looking at here, we're looking at a history, but we can't live in that history. We're called to speak the truth in our generation. And the issues that they were dealing with then are minor compared to the issues we're dealing with now. So Franklin Graham is speaking out profoundly with specificity on very specific cultural issues today that Billy Graham never had to face.
That's right, and he was facing the issues of his time. There's a wonderful article in this issue titled, Jesus Was Not a White Man. And it's the story of Howard Jones, who as a young preacher was befriended by Billy Graham, and he became an associate. He was the first African-American associate on the team preaching, traveling with Billy Graham. And, you know, it's hard to realize, but 1957 was very early part of the so-called civil rights revolution in America.
No question about it.
Billy Graham brought an important message straight from the Bible to the whole world, which is we are not divided by race. There's one race. It's called the human race.
Mm-hmm.
The secular humanists want to break us down and divide us by color and by shape and by feature and all of this nonsense.
And gender. Mm-hmm.
And gender. But our Heavenly Father created man, and he created them, by the way, man and woman. And so these issues are now forefront in our culture today.
And so Billy Graham's... So Billy Graham's son now is picking up on those issues. Specifically, Billy Graham picked up on the early on the issue of color that was dividing the church and putting a very dark color upon the message of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and I'm so grateful that you also mentioned his daughter, Ann Graham Lott. Mm-hmm. Who is reaching out to our Jewish brothers and sisters with a message that she gave at Billy Graham's funeral, tying together the Old Testament times with the New Testament. And so these two, and by the way, I must mention his grandson, Will, the three of them, in fact, the whole family is carrying on this incredible legacy of reaching out to people worldwide, regardless of their background, regardless of their, their proclivities. I mean, they are willing to go anywhere to meet with anyone to spread the gospel, and I think that's an important message because today we're so balkanized by denominations. I mean, look at our body itself is divided by denominations. We don't find that in Scripture.
Right. Okay, friends, we're having to make some personal decisions because God calls us not just to look back and exult in the lives of others. Yes, we should have appreciation, gratitude, and thank the Lord. And yes, revere them for their role. But then God calls us to move on. We look back. And now we look forward. Unless the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it's not going to bring forth much fruit. So the time now is for you and for me to bring forth fruit. Each according to our particular giftedness, each according to our unique callings, God has put each one of us in a unique place for such a time as this. Do you believe that, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. And I also really appreciate your connecting that story of Mordecai and Esther from the book of Esther, the importance of our response, the importance of the response of an individual mm-hmm. who is willing to respond to the call of our Heavenly Father. There's just no denial that the history of mankind is the story of those individuals.
Yeah. I indicated that music was a very important part of Billy Graham's ministry, and some of those musicians, they were so steady with him. I'm thinking of George Beverly Shea, for instance, who would sing with his basso profundo voice there in those crusades. And then there were others. I'm trying to remember the fellow that led all of the choirs and so on.
Cliff Barrows.
Cliff Barrows, yes.
Yeah. Cliff Barrows and Bev Shea were with Billy Graham from the very beginning. You know, it's extraordinary. And this is this points out another issue of our time in which Billy Graham has been a witness. And that is he formed a team at a time when there was an enormous scandal in the Christian body. Many evangelists and many preachers were falling into sin and bringing a terrible witness to the rest of the world by virtue of that. Mm-hmm. Billy Graham was aware of that, and he was committed to, he made a covenant among his team, which has been carried on by Mike Pence. You know, people are so outraged that Mike Pence refuses to meet with women for a meal or in meetings, because he's a married man.
Right.
He refuses to meet with unmarried women. That is a legacy of Billy Graham, because they all made this agreement. And so when you look back on the story of Billy Graham, there is a lack, an obvious void of these sexual scandals, which are rife throughout all religions.
Well, you know,
but,
I picked up personally.
What a testimony.
I picked up personally on that, and for all of my years in practicing law, and for the past 30 years in ministry, I have that fundamental rule. I will not have lunch or even have another woman in my car without someone else being present. Just will not do it, no matter how innocent it may seem. Because
to your credit, and to the credit of the, you know, this is a witness that this man, this one individual, brought to the body, and it's such a great blessing that so many individuals like yourself picked that up and adopted it for themselves.
Well, let's go back to the music for a moment. I'm thinking of Just As I Am, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. That was the theme. In fact, a book came out by that name. In memory of Dr. Billy Graham, Just As I Am. Well, we have to come to Jesus just as we are. Some people think they got to clean up their act before they come to Jesus. No, that would mean you could be saved by your works. No, we have to come to Jesus and He'll clean us up. If you haven't done that, now's the time, friend. Come just as you are, without one plea. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
A post-mortem perspective, looking back, looking forward, after the passing and burial of Dr. Billy Graham, what does it mean for you and for me? That's the bigger issue. It's not about him anymore. It's not about him anymore. We've given reverence, we've given credit, we've given recognition to the man and his ministry and message. And now it's time for you and for me. Time for you and for me. I'm thinking of a song, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. He's not only calling us to embrace him as Savior and Lord, as Billy Graham preached, but he's also calling us now to pick up the baton as fellow believers, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, to stop pretending in churchianity and become real Christians. Going back to the music again, Michael, I'm thinking of George Beverly Shea. And I think perhaps one of the songs that he is most remembered for is a song called I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. So great was the import of that song in my own life. I have sung it in public many, many times. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Than to be the king of a vast domain, or to dwell in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. That doesn't seem to be that much of a theme in the life of Christians today. What say you?
Well, it's very sad, but, so much of Billy Graham's legacy, and you asked me in the beginning of our time together here, what was the big thing that I would take away?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to what you have said, his message was to turn to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And another song that Beverly Shea was well known for was How Great Thou Art.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now both of those songs, How Great Thou Art. And I'd rather have Jesus. Both point us to who? It points us to Jesus Christ. That was Billy Graham's ministry. It's a simple message. Like I said earlier, he stuck to that simple message.
Mm-hmm.
And his legacy will be, I believe, that he directed the world to Jesus. What greater legacy would there be?
Speaking of the word legacy, friend, maybe you're not aware of my new book that has just come out called Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. Would you like to leave a legacy that lasts? Really? That's what this book is about. Christian leaders who have endorsed it say they're not aware of any other book that's been written like this book. It's a book for our time. It's a book for your time, for you. It's a $23 hardbound book, and it's yours for $20. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. What a gift this would make for Father's Day. To sons, to fathers, to grandfathers, and your pastor. Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts. And Michael, when we talk about, you mentioned this word legacy. Isn't that what we really, down deep, want to do, to leave a legacy?
I think at the end, and of course we're speaking now to those who are late in life,
mm-hmm.
This becomes more and more important. And yes, I would agree because, after all is said and done, the Bible teaches us this, the one thing that will be lasting is our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the rest of this stuff is going to get burned up. It's going to go away. We will be a body of people who have turned back to Christ and who have turned back to our Heavenly Father. That was his legacy, and every one of us is called to be a part of that and to leave that legacy to our family, to our loved ones, and to the world. And what a great example he set for us. And this man, Billy Graham, yes, that is not his message. He time and time again reminded people, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus Christ. Everything that has happened, he continually attributed the success of his crusades, the success of his gatherings, which were stupendous when you think about it, that so many people would show up, in excess of 1 million people there in South Korea, as an example.
Yeah.
And what he was doing was directing us to Jesus.
I remember being there at the great Los Angeles Crusade, not the one in 1949. I was only 4 years old then, but the one in the early 1960s. When 135,000 people gathered there at the Los Angeles Coliseum, and I actually sang in the choir there, that was quite a memory, quite an experience to be there. It was the largest number of people ever to sit in the Los Angeles Coliseum to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. So all over the world, the man has left an impact, a legacy. One of the things that's interesting, and Time Magazine has just pointed this out, that there is a difference between Franklin Graham, for instance, and his dad, and Anne Graham Lotz, and her dad, and her brother. And Time Magazine, wanting to create discord, wanting to somehow leave a bad taste, has said, well, now there's strife between Franklin Graham and Anne Graham Lotz, that Anne Graham Lotz is the real preacher, and that Franklin Graham is dealing with things that his dad would never deal with and talking about things his dad would never talk about, such as complete inundation of Islam into America and around the world, also the advance of homosexuality and all of these cultural issues. Anne Graham Lotz doesn't speak to those. She just speaks to the basic gospel message. Franklin Graham applies the gospel message in a call to repentance, in a call to resisting the onslaught of evil, wickedness, according to God's viewpoint, in the culture. So it's interesting that you have two different kids experiencing and leaving, acting out the legacy of Billy Graham, but in very different ways.
Yes, and, you know, that's a wonderful gift of our Heavenly Father. There is strength and there is power in diversity. Each individual, this is unique to our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual in the Christian faith has come to a decision in his own life or her own life.
Right.
That's what makes a person a follower of Jesus. Not their birth, not their race, not their family, not their country, none of that, but a personal relationship. And so one of the great strengths and one of the great legacies of the Christian faith is that there are so many people who have so many different ways in which our Heavenly Father has reached them. And they have a testimony. They have a story to tell. What richness, what variety, what diversity, what great, it's hard to describe how rich the body is. But I would challenge anybody in the audience who has not experienced that. It's one of the greatest comforts. It's one of the greatest psychologies, if you will. It's one of the greatest healing spirits that he can find you. And that you mentioned that wonderful song that repeats the phrase, come as you are, come just as you are,
mm-hmm.
but come. And so it doesn't matter you know, what your particular slant might be. We all come to the foot of the cross in one way or the other, and he will give us an understanding. He will give us a faith that will allow us to speak and to also reach out to others with a personal story, mm-hmm. about how he has touched us. And so what a great legacy of diversity that is.
Yeah. You know, even the secular culture, the anti-God culture, were occasionally on television or even on radio, use the phrase, your come to Jesus moment. Have you noticed this? Your come to Jesus moment. And they're not necessarily talking about coming to Jesus. They're using it as a metaphor for, you know, seeing the light on something. But the reality is they're picking up on that even from the life and ministry of Billy Graham and calling it now your come to Jesus moment. Now, here's the deal, friends. This may be your come to Jesus moment. You might be listening and you've never really made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You've never come to grips with the weight of the sin that you carry. And the message is, you don't have to carry that. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest to your soul. But you've got to be willing to confess your sin, and you've got to be really willing to acknowledge you need a Savior. And that was the message, the simple message. Come just as you are, just as I am, without one plea. No excuses. Come clean before God. Confess your sin. Receive Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his sacrifice for your sin. And then begin to walk by faith. Do it today. Don't delay. And maybe you've already done that, maybe years ago, maybe at a Billy Graham crusade. But you haven't really been walking by faith. You haven't really stepped out to take the baton. You wanted to be in the race, but you haven't really run the race. You're part of the race, and you haven't received the baton. Do it today. Don't let fear paralyze you. Do it today. Austin with Michael Austin with the Christian History Institute and Magazine. Tell us again how we can get a copy of this wonderful magazine, particularly the issue with regard to the life of Billy Graham.
Well, they've made it very easy. Go to the website, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org, and subscribe. Just click on the link to order a subscription. And you can do that at no cost. It's very simple, very easy. Just register, and you'll be receiving that those issues. It's a quarterly magazine, so there's four every year. And one of the things I probably should remind people, this the magazine is famous for its artwork and its photography.
Oh, yeah.
And this issue is filled with amazing photography that takes you back into the time when Billy Graham did extraordinary things, like in 1953, when he actually removed the rope that separated black folks from white folks, and said there may be places where it's desirable for both races, but certainly not in the church.
Wow, that's a very powerful thing. So, friends, is there a phone number or is there an email? Quickly.
Well, the best way is to use the website, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org.
All right. God bless you, my friend, and take the baton.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.